Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of the program. I'm so glad that you tuned in, glad to come into your homes or wherever you are right now. And I want to impress upon you the truth that you personally, as you are, one of a kind, individual, are loved by God. And I'm going to help you to receive that today. Listen to this verse, these verses from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, and I give Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes, and I love you. You are honored, and I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love that beautiful reading from Isaiah 43 because it talks about God's redeeming power. And God actually says in this, I love you. You are precious to me. I give nations for you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I had that reading read at my profession as a passionist over 30 years ago because it spoke of God's redemption and God's love for me personally. I remember some years ago there was a big council together. The Pope and many archbishops and cardinals got together and they had what was called a synod on the Word of God. And in this synod, they talked for 3 weeks about the Word of God and how we can get the people of the church to read the scriptures. And toward the end of it, there was an archbishop, an Italian archbishop, Giofranco Ravesi, and he got up and he said to the whole assembly, we ought to see the Bible as God's personal love letter to us. As a lover reads a letter from his beloved, so we should read the scriptures. And everybody clapped. And I think that's wonderful. This scriptures, like what we just had read to you, is like God's love letter to you. And Pope Francis said something interesting. He said, you know, many people are carrying their phone with them all the time and getting texts and, you know, that occupies their time. He says, you ought to carry the Bible. And when you read the Bible, it's like getting a text personally from God personally to you. And that's a wonderful way to look at it. I'm talking about God's love and the ways that God loves us and how God loves us personally. And I've talked in other programs about people and creation and incidents and coincidences and different things that occur. But one of the primary ways that God loves us is simply through reading the scriptures. That's why at the Catholic Mass, and I'm sure if you're of another denomination, whatever service to go to, whatever service you go to, when you read the Bible is proclaimed because it's God's word, God's message to us. And that's one of the ways that he loves us. And I want you to sense that the scriptures are addressed to you personally. I love Psalm 139, for example. Of course, it's 150 Psalms, but Psalm 139 talks about God's love for us personally. It makes the point that God is the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. God created us. When we sit or when we stand, God knows it. When we speak, God knows every word that's going to be on our lips, even before we speak it. So in other words, the scriptures are telling us in Psalm 139 how personal God's love is. There are 7.5 billion people and growing by the moment. 7.5 billion. God could have created a universe, a world, with all these people in it, and he could have easily have left you out and nobody would have known it. Not your parents, not you, because you wouldn't have been created, but God would have known it. So the only universe that we know of, the only world that we know of, life on earth, would not have been complete without you and without me. See, I'm trying to impress upon you the fact that you are loved. I love that scripture. Of course, we've all heard it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So God so loved the world, yes, 7.5 billion people, plus all the people that came before us, plus all the people that are going to come after us. That's maybe hundreds of billions, who knows? But God loves you. And that's what I'm trying to impress upon you. It's not just the world. It's you personally. I wrote a book called You Are Loved. And in that book, I try to impress upon the reader the intensely personal nature of God's love. That although there are 7.5 billion people in the world right now, it wouldn't be complete without you. You are unique, one of a kind, rare, and there's nobody like you. And God created you out of love. And you need to see yourself that way. You need to see yourself as not just arbitrary, it didn't just happen to be, it's not just because of the Big Bang theory. It's God had a purpose in all this, and he designed you just the way you are. So I want you to understand that every heartbeat, every thought, every moment, every breath that you take is a gift from God to you. Wow. See, when we talk about God's love, it's eminently practical. It's not just, as I said before, all these manifestations of God and these being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is that. But oftentimes we think, well, I don't really sense God's love for me. To be alive is to be loved. It's just a matter of we have to pay attention, be aware of it, and try to receive it. And just sometimes get in touch with the fact that you're alive, your breath. That's what I do in contemplative prayer when I get real quiet. I just concentrate on my breath. Take a deep breath and you let it out and I'm alive and how God has given me this gift. So I read one time, and this is on the internet, the odds of you being born, get this, the odds of you being born are one, they tried to figure this out, one in 400 trillion that you would be born. We don't even have a concept of that. I read that actually the odds were better for you not to be born than they were for you to be born. That is so amazing. There's more of a chance that you wouldn't be born than that you would be born. But in God's mind, it was 100% chance. God had you in mind, the scriptures tell us, before the world began. He called you into being, and he chose you to be a believer in his Son. So what's one in 400 trillion? It's hard to understand. Somebody tried to give us an image of it, and they said, take all the oceans of the world, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Arctic, the other oceans. There's the Indian Ocean, the Southern Ocean, millions of square miles of ocean. Put a little life preserver right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Then take a turtle and throw them into one of the oceans somewhere. The odds of you being born is the same odds of that turtle surfacing right in the middle of that life preserver. It's impossible, yet we're alive. Wow, what a gift. And it was an intentional act of God. That's what Psalm 139 is telling us. That's why I'm trying to get you to understand that you are loved. Even if you have a twin, you have a different DNA. You have unique fingerprints. Your iris print, nobody else has. You're unique. You're individual, as I said. You're rare. You're one of a kind. You're very valuable to God. As we heard in that reading from Isaiah 43, you are precious to God and He loves you. He gives nations to redeem you. He gave His Son to save you. You are extremely precious and valuable to God. So what is your ethnicity? Are you Hispanic? Are you Black? Caucasian? Asian? Whatever your ethnicity, are you tall, short, slender, heavy? Are you male, female? You know, we didn't have a say in all this, but God was the one who graced us. God was the one who made us. Think about your personality for a moment. Are you an introvert, an extrovert? Whatever you are, whatever your ethnicity, however you look, whether you've got hair or you're bald, whatever it is, you are loved. Wow. We are loved unconditionally, passionately. And I really want to impress this point that it's not just the whole world. It's not just everybody out there. God is so great and so powerful and so intimate and so intricate that He loves you personally. You didn't just happen to be. Psalm 139 again tells us that God was the one who knit us together exactly as we are in our mother's womb. He called us from all eternity. So I'm really trying to lay this foundation that, yeah, we're loved, but you are loved. It's not just God so loved the world. You personally. And I've heard this said before, and you've probably heard this too, that even if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have went to the cross for you. Even if you were the only one who ever lived, Jesus would have went to the cross for you. That's how much He loves you. And you have to personalize the gospel. You have to understand that He went to the cross for you. God created you just the way you are. So quit critiquing yourself. I mean, you're not the one who made yourself. Why don't you accept yourself as a gift? The way you look, who you are, your ethnicity. Don't say, I wish I was so-and-so or I had that and that. Be who you are and be the best that you can be. Take what God gave you and make the best of it. You are loved. So I want you to receive God's love. And that's one of the purposes of this program. God loves prisoners as much as priests. He loves paupers as much as the Pope. But what happens is, most people in prison don't receive God's love. A lot of people in prison do, I know, because we're writing them and we're sending them books, and they're hungry for God's love. But a lot of people don't receive God's love. God has loved all of us unconditionally. But it's a matter of receiving God's love. How do you receive God's love? Well, by being attentive to the blessings in your life, being aware of it. I've tried to talk about that in another program. By reading the scriptures, reading good books. I read one of my own books, the book that I wrote about You Are Loved, and it so touched me and helped me to receive God's love once again. See, we need to receive it over and over and over again. Go to church, go to confession, watch good religious TV programs, listen to good music. You can receive God's love for you personally, and that's really important. So you read the scriptures, and you go to church, and you become aware of God's love. I told you in another program that our former Pope, Pope Benedict, wrote an encyclical called God is Love. And in this encyclical, he talked specifically and practically about what God's love was like. And he talked about God's love, and he used many Greek words. One of the words that he used was the word agape. And he talked about God's love as being agape, which means sacrificial, unconditional, and generous. So God loves us unconditionally, indiscriminately. As I said before, He makes His sun rise on the just and the unjust, and His rain falls on the good and the bad. So His love is for everybody, but I want to help you to receive it. So agape is one of the words that He used. Then I want to tell you about two other words that He used for God's love, because I want God's love not just to be some arbitrary thing that kind of floats in the sky. I want you to be able to receive it personally. And one of the other words that our Pope used, our former Pope, Pope Benedict XVI, he used the word philia. It's where we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And so philia is, it's a brotherly love, but more than that, it's a friendship type love. We learn in the scriptures that Abraham was the friend of God. Think of that for a moment. He had a relationship with God. He was friends with God. They knew each other. They were conversational, if you will. Same thing with Moses, friend of God. I remember it was Billy Graham who said, and Billy Graham knows all these different music. You know, he's been all around. He's been to all these crusades all around the world. Billy Graham said, if I had one hymn that was my favorite hymn out of all the hymns that I've ever heard, it would be "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I think that's so beautiful because Jesus is our friend. Remember what he said, Jesus himself? He said, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends because I have revealed to you my knowledge of God, my intimacy with God. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to bring to us, friendship, intimacy, something conversational. This is what love is. It's relational. It's conversational. It's getting to know somebody, having a personal relationship. And this is exactly what God wants for us, a friendship. I've developed many friendships in my life. Certainly, think about my own dad. He was one of my best friends growing up. He's now passed to the Lord. But, you know, just friends that I've had growing up as a teenager and friends that I've had as I've gone on with ministry and friends that I have in the community. I belong to a religious community called the Passionists. You see that I'm wearing my habit here. In the Catholic Church, there's many religious communities, Franciscans and Jesuits and Dominicans and all these different communities. Well, I joined a community called the Passionists. And one of the men that attracted me to the Passionists was this one priest. He was young, good-looking, very good preacher, very dynamic. And I got to be friends with him. His name is Father Joe. Preached at my first Mass after I was ordained. And all through these years, I've been a Passionist now for about 32 years. All through these years, we've remained friends. Not only friends, we don't live together because he lives in another city, but not only friends, but I would call it best friends, intimate friends. Sometimes I don't see him for like 6 months, and when I get back together with him, it's just like no time had passed, because we immediately pick up right where we left off. We have a tremendous intimacy. We talk about things. I go to him to confession. He's a priest. And I feel free to be able to share my innermost secrets with him, my vulnerabilities. I just tell him everything about me. There's a saying in the 12-step program, you're only as sick as your secrets. And so it's always good to share with a trusted friend your secrets, the depths of who you are. That way you don't think that you're kind of apart from the rest of humanity because we're all one together. And when I share with him, I really believe and I know that he will be real confidential. He will never share that with anybody else. He's very trustworthy. And he accepts me just the way I am, even with all my flaws and sins. And so that's who a friend is, and that's the way God is. When we talk about filial love, that brotherly love, that friendship love, this is the way that God loves us, the way that Jesus loves us. In other words, we can come to him in confession and share the depths of who we are. In fact, that's exactly what God wants from us. He wants us to share the depths of who we are so that he can love us in our heart of hearts, so that we can be open and he can shine his love into the depths of our being and dispel any darkness. So I want you to think about God for a moment and think about friendship. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. Jesus said, I have called you friends. Develop your friendship. His love is there for you. He's inviting you to become friends with him. I remember when I grew up in the 70s, that's the 1970s. There was a song out on the radio by one of my favorite singers. And the song was called You've Got a Friend by James Taylor. Let me just give you the words. When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest nights. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, All you have to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, you've got a friend. I love that. It says in the scriptures, call out my name, and I'll be there. You know, when you're going through hard times, and there's trials and troubles in your life, you're not meant to go through it alone. You've got a friend, certainly friends in the community, friends in your family, but a supernatural friend, God your Father, Jesus your best friend, the Holy Spirit your counselor and comforter who lives deep within you. See, this is what love is practically. It's friendship. It's intimacy. It's relationship. And then our Pope, I'm talking about Pope Benedict, he used another word and for love, and it was called eros, E-R-O-S. It's where we get the word erotic. So now, when he talks about love, it's agape, it's unconditional, it's friendship, but it's also romantic. You know, I believe we're made for romance. That's why people get married. They want to have intimacy, they want to have romance, they want to have ecstasy, they want to have eroticism. And if you ever want to read some pretty inflammatory stories, go to the Song of Songs. It's kind of like Romeo and Juliet. It talks about lovers, some R-rated type stories, such as, this comes right from the Bible, let me kiss him with the kisses of his mouth. Excuse me, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Catherine of Siena, a great saint in the Catholic Church, experienced what she called a mystical marriage, where Jesus literally proposed to her and said, would you take me in marriage? And we have that in the Bible. The prophet Hosea said, I will espouse you to me forever. I will espouse you in steadfast love and mercy. See, the church is the bride of Christ. More than religion, it ought to be a romantic relationship with God. When I have contemplative prayer, when I sit in silence, I don't call it prayer, I call it romancing God. I'm trying to grow in my erotic love for God and to absorb God's stupendous, deep, erotic love for me. So marriage is a way of symbolizing that. In a marriage, of course, the two become one. There's great intimacy. And oftentimes that is symbolized by a ring. You wear a ring on your finger. Maybe you've seen some religious priests or sisters. They wear a ring because they're married not to another person, but to God. And that's the way I believe that Christianity is. It's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to become one with Christ, one with God. I remember the prophet Hosea again. He talked about an incident in the Bible where there was a prostitute named Gomer. And he told Hosea to marry Gomer. And you know, what do you do when God tells you to marry a prostitute? He obeyed. And sure enough, the prostitute Gomer kept her old ways and ended up being unfaithful to Hosea. Hosea was devastated. I mean, he gave himself to Gomer in marriage, and God said, I want you to take her back, because that's exactly what happens with me and my people. My people commit adultery, they get involved in idols, and they've done all kinds of adulterous things, yet I receive you back. And I love that reading from Hosea, because the truth is that we have all sinned, we have all committed adultery with the world, we have all forsaken God, and God says, just like Hosea, I take you back. Whatever you've done, you are mine. Develop your love relationship with me. I forgive you. So, what I'm trying to impress upon you is that you are loved. No matter what you've done, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what you think about yourself, you personally are loved by God in a deep, powerful, intimate way. God wants friendship. He wants relationship. He wants depth. Just call out my name. You've got a friend. And then, of course, he wants this romance, this depth, this oneness, if you will, this mysticism with you that our hearts were made for. And even if you've failed God, he says, come back to me with all your heart, and I will receive you. You are loved. Just the way you are. You are precious, You're an individual. You're unique. And God's in love with you. Don't just live. Live with passion. In this program, Live with Passion, I am dedicated to helping you to experience God's love for you personally. I got a letter from a woman. She said, "Thank you, Father Cedric, for your preaching on television. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm now 90 years old, and I realize that Jesus has been with me through a great many experiences. However, I have lost the ability to keep that due to aging. But your TV programs and your books have made my relationship with Jesus real again." Oh, I love that. I read one of my books. It's called You Are Loved. And as I was reading that book, God's love was touching me through the book. Although I had written it, I had forgotten many of the things that I had written. And I believe that the books that I've written, the programs that I'm producing, will all help you to experience God's love. Would you consider reading some of my books and buying my resources? They will support my programs, but most of all, they will help you to experience God's love. And that's what I'm dedicated to. I really want you to know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love and to experience that love. And you can experience God's love. You can know God's love in a deep, personal way. So go to my website, call that number, write me at that address, and we have a list of the 21 books, CDs, DVDs of this program. And thank you so much for your support. Don't just live, live with passion. I just want to share with you Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms, perhaps yours too, because it speaks of God's love. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts. You search out my path. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together. You beset me before and behind. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you're there also. For you have formed my inward parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." And I pray for all of you watching this program that you will know God's love, how close he is to you, every word, every movement, every thought. You'll experience that love in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Bazania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.